This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Monetization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Richard Malone and Robert Swanson of CNX Corporation. Richard has worked as an application developer on the IBM i platform and its various predecessors for over 21 years. Currently serving as CNX's Chief Technical Officer, Richard is dedicated to promoting the IBM i profile, encouraging RPG programmers to expand their development skills beyond the traditional green screen paradigm and into building dynamic web 2.0 applications. Robert has worked as an RPG developer since 1992, focused on integrating ERP applications into traditional plant floor environments. Currently serving as CNX's president, Rob is a strong advocate of introducing web 2.0 style applications into conventional IBM i shops as a mean to dramatically increase productivity and bolster the image of IBM i as the world-class application server. Take this opportunity to learn more about using the new Valence developer tools to modernize IBM i applications. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Richard Malone and Robert Swanson of CNX Corporation.
Rob, can you tell me a little bit about your background in application development and software modernization?
Yeah, well, we've been in the IBM i, AS400, iSeries, System i world, what have you, since the early 90s, and we were principally in the green screen realm, as you know, most everyone else in the RPG world was, for quite a while. And we reached a point where we recognized that we'd pretty much run its course with the green screen applications, and needed to find a way to modernize it. We tried quite a few different approaches and found that none of them really addressed all of our touching points for what we would consider a modern app and by today's standards. And by modern app, I mean, you know, something that really looks and acts like a PC application, but runs through your web browser. So that basically is what formed the genesis of Valence after literally years, which Richard can talk to you about, literally years of trying different approaches to get the best face possible on our software. We found that we really kind of needed to go on our own and develop a new avenue for delivering the web 2.0 feel that we really felt our product needs. And, well, we have Valence.
Richard, do you want to add anything more for experience as a company in modernization?
I've been on this platform ever since it was released. I guess I'm kind of showing my age a little bit there. Yeah, I mean, Rob's correct. We've been pretty much trying to find a way to get our green screen applications to the web ever since the web was invented, and never really found a very good way to do it, trying every third-party tool and anything that IBM had provided. And, you know, finally, you know, we bit the bullet and created our own way. And that is Valence.
What kind of advantage do you think that IBM i shops will gain from modernizing their applications, you know, going from the green screen to the web or whatever approach we think is modern?
I would say to start with, their user base is going to be more pacified or satisfied with the interface options they have with a modernized application. Generally speaking, the back end is pretty robust and inherently scalable by virtue of it running on the i, but limited in the fact that it's running through a text-based interface, you know, 5250 client. So by modernizing the application, you're preserving your back-end integrity, but giving your users a whole plethora of new options for viewing and interpreting all the data, the wealth of data that i is so adept at storing. In a way that you never could in the past with the green screen.
Yeah, I think the web has been just such a wonderful thing for the eye, actually, because, like you said, the strength is all its number crunching. It just never has had a decent front end.
you know, when you say what are the benefits of having a, you know, this kind of interface on your applications, I mean, it's almost like you can't even think that way anymore. It's getting to that point. It just has to be that way. I remember in the early 90s, we used to have to do a cost justification on every PC that we wanted to purchase. And now, today, you wouldn't even consider doing that. A PC is just an expense because that's just part of what people need to do their jobs. I mean, users demand and require graphical interfaces and are most comfortable with web interfaces because it's what they use at home and, you know, in their whole lives. It's what people are familiar with. We get a lot of customers who just say it's an unacceptable training to somebody on the green screen. For example, we have one customer who used to have an order entry application where it would take them basically a month to train a new person before that person could enter an order on their own. Whereas in a valance application, you know, they can do that after the first day because the screen is so much more intuitive. Things like that. It's almost like it's becoming a basic requirement. I may be a little bit ahead of my time in saying that, but I mean, new applications anyway, I'm talking about. For new applications, I really don't know how anyone could justify creating a new green screen application.
It is true. But, you know, it's funny. I have seen some companies that are still wanting to go the green screen route, which I can't understand.
No, they're out there. And I mean, maybe it comes down to just, you know, that's what their knowledge is in. So that's where they have to, you know, continue to go forward in the shorter term. But I think, of course, we all recognize that longer term graphical interfaces, and I truly believe web interfaces are here to stay for a very long time.
I think some of those companies might be victim of false starts in the past where they've been burned by trying so-called modernization projects that resulted in, it could be a screen scrape solution or, you know, a very clunky result that the users ended up abandoning because they found they were less productive than they were when they were on the green screen. And that's probably the number one trap that anyone embarking on a modernization project needs to watch out for, is that the product that they're creating, the end application, has to be an improvement over the green screen. And just because it's graphical doesn't necessarily mean it's better. There's a lot of other factors that need to be taken into account.
Since we're talking about modernization, we should define, how do you as a company define modernization?
Oh, this is Richard's great question.
There are a lot of different definitions of modernization, and you know, you could ask this question to a dozen different quote unquote experts on the eye and you're going to get a dozen different answers. I like to think of a modern application as very generically one that the user can walk up to and figure out how to use it without any training whatsoever. You know, that's a very generic modernization definition, but you know, it's the one I always start with and it's the one we keep at the top of our minds when we're designing applications. In other words, you know, you could take a tool like Valance or another web development tool and you could create an application with that looks nice, but is totally non-functional, non-intuitive, you know, so that there's a big design element to it. Just because the interface looks pretty does not mean it's necessarily defined as a modern application. There's also other interesting definitions of a modern application. One might say a modern application is one that is modular and easy to kind of interface with. You know, I might have a bunch of back-end different service programs or whatever. That I can, you know, hook up to any kind of front-end interface, and I may define those as modern, you know, because they have a modern, quote-unquote, object-oriented design and so forth.
So it's not necessarily just using a modern language to modernize, it's the whole approach.
That's a dangerous path to get down to talk about a modern, quote-unquote, language. You can look at RPG, and there's so many different flavors of RPG. Can't just say something like RPG is old or RPG is modern because it depends on how you use it. If you're talking about an RPG 2 program that's all columnar, that's heinous. If you're talking about a free format RPG program that is, you know, free format, fully proceduralized, using activation groups and service programs, it's pretty darn modern. I mean, you know, I can put that up against any other language.
Right. Yeah, RPG is quite a good language, especially with the upgrades they've made to it.
Mm-hmm.
You had an application that you guys needed modernized. What were the reasons that you were looking at modernizing your application?
Well, I mean, the first reason that we wanted to modernize was it because we wanted to get more sales. I mean, you know, it's very difficult these days to actually sell a green screen application because the people that you're selling it to, you know, you go into a room of executives and you want them to pay money for your software. You know, it has to look modern. You know, it's hard to even get the green screen apps in the door these days. So, you know, that was the biggest reason. And of course, you know, what we talked about earlier in terms of the user experience and everything. I mean, we want the users that are using the application to be happy. I mean, of course, number one, our applications are trying to solve business problems. Okay. But number two, you know, we can solve those business problems easier if the users are happy with using the applications. It's difficult to get users happy, you know, using a green screen.
Now, I'd add to that a byproduct of the modernization we've found unexpectedly and surprisingly is that it's actually faster in many cases to design apps that run in a modern interface than to do the green screen equivalent. For example, the Web 2.0 equivalent of a subfile is called a grid, and we can program one of those in minutes without having to worry about indicators or paging rules or, you know, folding and all the other things you got to think about when you're doing design for a green screen, not to mention the real estate limit that you have in the green screen realm of 80 columns or 127 if you've got it wide mode. Whereas in HTML, you know, all that stuff's kind of automatic. You know, they'll automatically span the width of your screen and beyond as needed. And, you know, you can list as many details as you want. And you can even give added functionality to the users and let them move columns around or turn them off and sort by them and all these things that you really couldn't even fathom in the green screen world. But the beauty of it all is that we can actually do a lot of this coding and design in a lot less time than it took to do a much less impressive green screen program.
Well, let me qualify what Rob said there, because many of your listeners will, you know, be quite skeptical of what he just said there. It really is true. You have a learning curve, of course, but the key thing that I think he might have left out is that it really depends on using the Web 2.0 type of design methodology that Valence brings. You know, either using Valence with its design methodology or something similar. Because, you know, the what most people may be familiar with is the older Web 1.0 design methodology where you're trying to generate HTML pages within your RPG. And that could be quite difficult. I mean, to maintain the state between pages and so forth, a lot of problems with that. And it creates a lot of new work that you didn't have to deal with before when you were doing green screen apps. With the Web 2.0 design methodology that Valence brings, the state is maintained on the front end, and all these issues about maintaining state between pages and stuff where it all kind of evaporated. And all of what Rob was saying about, you know, giving drag and drop functionality and sorting columns and moving things around, that kind of thing is mostly automatic. So that, you know, the developer can really bring rich functionality to the user with a lot less time. It's going to take time for new people to this design methodology to, you know, to gain experience with it. But after 6 months or maybe a year in some cases, you will be designing these kind of applications faster than you could have on the green screen. And of course, adding a lot of functionality that wouldn't even be possible on the green screen.
That's a very nice thing about designing or building with Web 2.0 and having a tool that will provide you with that ability to add that functionality. I hate the idea about having to go in and code everything. So having a tool like that makes a difference. Now, you looked at some different options before you started your modernization process. What are some of the different modernization options you looked at?
Well, I guess I'll have to take this one because, you know, I'm the chief technology officer at CNX, and it's kind of my job to evaluate technology options. You know, I don't really want to name third-party packages, but we tried, let's just say we tried pretty much every one of them out there extensively. I guess I can name some of the IBM ones. I was trained in Java right up in Rochester and developing in WebSphere. In fact, we deployed WebSphere applications for certain customers, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s in that time frame. But never really kind of felt comfortable with it. I, you know, we could do it. It just seemed like It took a long time to develop applications with it, and to make any kind of change whatsoever just seemed like a very long, drawn-out deployment process. So, I mean, the bottom line is we just never really felt comfortable doing it, and we could kind of see that it wasn't going to be a long-term option for us. So, and, you know, eventually we dropped the WebSphere and the Java route. And when we did that, that's when we started kind of evaluating other third-party tools and other ways to do things, with a particular interest in seeing if we could continue using RPG, because we really kind of felt like we had a lot of RPG knowledge and that, you know, it worked well and it was stable, and that the only real problem was the interface. You know, and in fact, if I could expand on my answer a little bit, I can tell you that in early 2005 was when I had the epiphany, when one of my customers told me to check out Google Maps. And I had been a longtime user of the Yahoo Maps, which at the time you had to kind of page left and right and kind of wait for the whole page to regenerate. And the first time I used Google Maps, and again early in 2005, it really shocked me. I mean, I went to the web page and I quickly found that you could slide the map around, and I was like, wait a minute, I didn't really install anything application on my computer, and you know, now my browser is working like a PC application, and I really got interested in how they were able to achieve that. It was Google Maps was really one of the first applications that came out that used a kind of full Web 2.0 design methodology with Ajax and all that, and a lot of rich JavaScript in the interface. So, you know, I set about kind of dissecting how that worked, and that was really kind of the light bulb, if you will, that kind of set us about creating Valence.
You also looked at some web-facing options, is that correct? And what kind of issues did you see with web-facing and versus what you've gone to?
As I recall, the web-facing options we tried were very clunky, in a word. Performance was less than we deemed acceptable. And we always had to operating on the knowledge that the underpinnings of our application were all rooted in the 5250 display. And no matter what, you know, no matter what kind of grand ideas you had for the front end, if you were writing it over a 5250 interface, you were constraining yourself. And we really didn't want to shackle our application with that kind of a hindrance going forward. And that's why we didn't stick around with the web-facing solution for very long. We did give it a good Boy Scout try, though.
The last time we were serious with web-facing or seriously trying it was, say, like 2002, 2003 timeframe, maybe even into 2004. And there are much better tools available today. But like Rob was saying, you are still locked into the 5250 data stream. And a tool like Valence brings you into full Web 2.0 design methodology, which is event-driven. You know, I mean, you just simply cannot develop a completely world-class rich internet application with a screen scraper or a web-facing type tool. You basically, what you wind up with at those kind of tools is something that looks a little bit better and works somewhat slower. You know, that's what you wind up with. You know, you do not change the underpinnings. Developers that get themselves involved in really long-term projects of web-facing type projects really don't add to their value. I mean, I'm talking about their personal value in the IT marketplace. You put down on your resume that you learned how to use a web-facing tool, that means almost nothing to a prospective employer. If you put down on your resume that you developed applications that use full Web 2.0 design methodology, event-driven design methodology, you know, that is worth a lot on your resume. It doesn't even matter that you're using RPG as the back end. You know, we're talking about, you know, if you learn the front end stuff and this whole design methodology, it's worth a lot in the IT marketplace.
Makes it kind of platform independent.
And as developers, that's something we're always looking for, is we want to increase our own personal worth in the marketplace as well. We may not ever move to another company.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a sales guy or anything, but when I talk to, you know, developers that are interested in finding something, I really try and drive that home. I mean, when you look at something like Valence, it brings the design methodology that has been very successful in other platforms And, you know, especially with backends of Java and PHP and other languages, you know, we bring that to the I with RPG on the backend. That's essentially what Valence does with a lot of tools.
That should make it a pretty good move for someone that does know RPG to use a tool like yours and move to the web.
An experienced RPG programmer using Valence is going to have a very short learning curve on the backend. You know, we draw a nice distinction between backend and frontend. On the backend stuff, as long as they know how to use a service program and can read free format RPG, or maybe that's something they want to learn, and, you know, Valence could be a conduit for that, because there's a lot of examples in that. You know, there's going to be a shorter learning curve on that. And then on the front end, you know, we tell people straight up, you know, you've got to learn the Valence front end. And what we do is we provide all kinds of examples and all kinds of training, mostly for free, to help RPG programmers learn that stuff. All of our training and all of our documentation is all geared toward the RPG programmer's perspective.
As an interesting aside to that, I'd like to add that we've found that hiring out of college today, you know, students or graduates that have, you know, that are fluent in the concepts of Ajax and Web 2.0 and JavaScript are very quick studies to RPG. RPG is a very structured language that someone that's learned some of the more complicated means to achieving what RPG does will find refreshing. Once they get over some of the, you know, quirks of RPG, such as, you know, aligning your D specs in the right spots and things like that, they're usually off to the races quite quickly. And we've had some success with getting some people that never even heard of the I up and running, doing RPG backends and the Web 2.0 front ends in a matter of weeks, surprisingly.
Yeah, that is a very good point, Rob. You know, you can bring it, you know, we have experience in going both directions. We can take RPG programmers who already are very good with the back end and train them on the front end stuff. And you can take people that are experienced on the front end stuff and train them on the back end stuff. And we also have very good experience in keeping those roles separate. You know, we have people here within CNX in our services group who do nothing but the back end, and we have people that do nothing but the front end, and the two interface together. I always like knowing everything. You know, I guess I'm just that kind of person. I have to know everything. But inside your organization, you can maintain those functions separately. And it does work out. I mean, you might think at first glance, well, you know, you might not wind up with a great application if you keep the front end people and the separate set and the back end people separate. But, you know, they interface together and come up with a common handshaking protocol, and, you know, they can design applications well that way.
Which all goes back to the whole paradigm of keeping your business logic separate from your display logic, because they really can operate as independent teams quite effectively. You can hammer out new applications quite quickly when everyone understands their role and the team.
That's such a good concept to follow, because then you can have the two different teams working pretty much in sequence with each other.
Right. It gives you some parallel development. Yep.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. I mean, we have many times with new customers of Valence, they'll contract with us to write a portion of their applications. That's part of how we make our revenue with Valence. We have a good services team here. And, you know, if they have very experienced RPG programmers, they you know, understand the Valence stuff right away on the back end, they do that portion and they can contract with us at least for their first application, as their guys are still learning, you know, and we can normally do the front end parts with them. And that works quite well. We do the front end portion. We work with them to do the back end portion. And at the same time, you know, they're learning the front end.
When you decided to build Valence, what are some of the capabilities you felt were important to include?
The JSON formatting capabilities are really kind of the first thing. Any kind of tool that you're going to have with that has a full-blown JavaScript front end. Of course, Valence is the front end is based on EXTJS, that JavaScript framework. You know, its native language for communicating data is JSON, JavaScript Object Notation. So the RPG core of Valence had to have very good JSON formatting capability. So that was really kind of the first, you know, had to do that automatically and very easy for the developer. Otherwise, you spend a lot of time developing JSON formatted strings and not enough time in your business logic. Beyond that, the portal, the Valence framework comes with a full-blown portal, which we call the Valence portal. And that handles the login. So, you know, when your users need to log in, you know, when you have to authenticate or authorize your users to certain functions and programs that you've created in Valence. You know, this is normally the first thing that a web developer gets confronted with when they want to put up a web application in a lot of tools when they're, you know, trying to do this on the eye, you know. How do I get the user to log on? Because we don't have a green screen. We don't have like a quote-unquote sign-on screen. You know, the Valence has all built-in tools for that. That's an absolute requirement. You know, login control, session control, and the ability to authorize users to certain functions. A menuing system, if you will. You know, like, I don't want to kind of dumb down what the Valence portal is, but, you know, it's handling all the login, authentication, and menuing.
How do you handle security in Valence?
Well, the browser really will only communicate in AJAX with the domain that it originally called for. There are ways around that. So, Valence doesn't really open any security holes in your browser that don't already exist on every other platform or tool. For the Valence portal, the authentication in order to get logged on is pretty strong. You know, there are two login mechanisms to Valence portal that you can choose. You can choose to have Valence-specific user profiles, so Valence would maintain its own separate database of users aside from your SystemEye user profiles that you can then cross-reference to your IBM I user profiles. In other words, you could have like 100 external users, and then you could cross-link them to one specific IBM I user if you didn't want each one of those to have an IBM I user. Or you could turn on the IBM I user ID authentication in the Valence portal so that you had to have a specific IBM I user ID. Once your user ID is authenticated, you get a very strong session key sent to your system. And on the back end, that session ID is stored along with a whole bunch of information about who you are and what IP address you came from and all that. And then every single subsequent call to a Valence program has to have that session ID authentication on it. And everything is authenticated on every single request. And we've made a very, very good effort. I mean, it sounds like at first glance, well, that could be really slow. You got to re-authenticate on every single call. It's the only way to keep the browser secure or to keep the session secure because it's a stateless connection. You have to authenticate on every call. But we've gone to great lengths to make it efficient and fast.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because it is stateless, you have to authenticate every time. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way to make something secure there.
Yeah, the key is how do you, you know, as Richard said, the means by which you go through that authentication can either be taxing or you can make it as efficient as you can, which is what we really focused a lot of resources on optimizing that process.
And it sounds like the developer doesn't really have to think about that Valence actually takes care of that for you.
That is automatic. If you think about, a call from the front end to an RPG program on the back end, it's just like calling any program. You're calling a specific program name and you're sending it certain parameters, right? Well, the Valence portal automatically inserts the session ID parameter on every call. So the developer doesn't have to like add that. It inserts a bunch of other stuff too. So, you know, that kind of authentication and handling that is kind of transparent to the developer. It's automatic.
That's good. When I started doing web development, handling sessions and so forth, that became one of the bigger issues because you didn't have to do that in the green screen or other type of programming. And it's like web developing was a backwards move in the whole development paradigm.
That's why I think a lot of RPG programmers, when they get their hands on Valence, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air because it's actually something that's designed from their perspective. Because, in fact, you know, Valence was designed from the ground up by a group of RPG developers, you know.
Now, what about the AJAX code? I know that Valence includes a lot of it with it, with the tool. Are you allowed, or are you able to write some of your own AJAX code, and does it save it, or does it overwrite your code, or how does that work? Or is there even really a need that you find to write your own?
Well, I mean, when you say AJAX code, I mean, that can mean a lot of things. I mean, essentially, there's, in the Valence framework, there's an AJAX request program or, you know, function within the front-end JavaScript that you can call, that basically just lets you call any RPG program and send it parameters. And then you get back a response, and then, you know, you do something with that response. It's pretty simple. A lot of times the word AJAX scares people because, like, they've seen it in the past, or they've seen video demos of how to do it.
They think of the Mr. Yuck stickers when they were growing up.
Yeah.
On the bottle of AJAX.
Right. I mean, you know, the way it's done in Valence, it's really pretty simple. I mean, you're effectively just calling a function that calls an RPG program and sends it parameters and waits for a response and then does something with that response. It's pretty simple. And yeah, I mean, there are, you know, when you talk about, you know, when you ask the question about what you can do or can you change what we've done in Valence, you know, Valence is a framework, and the framework includes an RPG toolkit on the back end, a JavaScript framework on the front end, and it includes a Valence portal, which in effect, the Valence portal is really a Valence program. Okay, so like without the Valence portal, the front end and the back end stuff would still work to create like Valence programs. But the Valence portal really takes a lot of the work of what we were just talking about, signing on, session management, automatic handling of certain things.
Library list management.
Yeah, the key is, it's really hard to describe how you would create a program in Valence other than to just look at the Valence examples. And Valence delivers with dozens of different examples that the RPG programmers can look at, and the code is described very well. So, you know, a lot of us like to code by example. So if you like to code by example, Valence is a great thing to try because, you know, there's lots of nice examples in there that and a lot of the examples mimic what you might want to do or what you might have done in your older programs. You know, like, for example, you know, everybody knows about subfiles and everybody's had to deal with them at some point. And, you know, some people do load all subfiles. Some people have gotten into page at a time subfiles. You know, there's direct analogs to those in Valence already done in certain examples. So it's a pretty simple thing to take those page at a time subfiles, and in Valence they're called paging grids, and to just take those and, you know, copy them and make them work over your own files. So it's easy to be successful with Valence pretty quickly by just looking at the examples.
What are the basic steps that are used in the modernization process, like from start to finish to put a screen up?
Let me start and I'll let Richard add to it. But I think you have to be careful with that approach, that you're not just taking an existing green screen application and thinking, okay, now I want this to work in a browser. I think you have to actually take a step back and think about what is the objective of this application? What is the user looking to get? What is the system looking to, you know, store from the user? And kind of start that way, because the whole Web 2.0 world gives you, you know, such a dramatically different approach to programming. It gives you so much more flexibility and freedom in your design. You no longer need to be constrained by the, you know, the procedural page to page to page or window to window that you were necessarily working in in a previous, you know, RPG green screen example. So I would say, you know, the first thing to do is just to basically, you know, list out what is the objective of the program and what are the things that the users are looking for. How often are the users needing to leave your application, maybe on another session, or drill down with function keys and so forth to get the information they're trying to get out of the system? And how can you convey that or present it in a way that's more user-friendly and just right there and intuitive? And then take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add to that. You know, one of the typical scenarios we deal with here at CNX, because we do a lot of services work, you know, we write, you know, not only do we create the Valence framework, but we also do write a lot of applications for our customers. So very typically, especially with new customers, they'll give us requirements for a new application, and the requirements will look exactly like their existing green screen application. So we have to kind of hold their hand a little bit and say, well, you're not really going to benefit that much by just taking your green screen application and designing something that looks exactly the same way and flows exactly the same way in Valence, because you have to kind of break out of that green screen mindset, because you have things in Valence like tab panels, like where before you may have hit a function key or some other functions or taken an option next to a record. And now, you can right click on something and get a context-sensitive menu to do various things. Or you can have a tab panel and just have the user click on a different tab panel to look at certain things. You can use drag and drop, which is totally inconceivable on a green screen. Like what Rob was saying, we really like to convince customers that they should re-engineer the entire application. I mean, if you want to just take the green screen application and move it to the web, you can use a web-facing tool, But if you really want it to be modern and have a modern design where the front end is separated from the back end and uses an event-driven methodology, I don't want to get too complex in this interview, but, because sometimes it scares people, but I really feel like I need to mention that in the Web 2.0 design methodology where the front end is really in control, you can have, it's event-driven, and multiple events can be happening at the same time. Like, for example, a user can click on a graph on one area of the screen, and that graph could be refreshing, and at the same time, they could click a drop-down box on the screen in another spot, and that could be prompting the combo box to be refreshing. At the same time, a grid in another area of the screen could be refreshing. It's kind of difficult for RPG programmers to think this way at first, but in Valence, in effect, you can have more than one area of the program running at any given time because it's all event-driven. When the user takes an action, a section of code runs against that action. And that type of design or that kind of thing is impossible to achieve unless you re-engineer your application.
Right. It really serves to emphasize the importance of separating the business logic from the display logic. And so typically you'll take, you might have a monolithic program with some subroutines or procedures in there that you can use. But I've found, surprisingly, a lot of the code in most green screen applications is user interface intertwined. And it's you wind up, not needing a whole lot of your code because, depending on how complicated you're trying to, work the subfile technology and so forth, you may find there's just a ton of a big chunk of your code is no longer needed because it was all based on trying to manipulate a green screen to do what you needed it to do. And all that becomes basically unnecessary when you're looking at a Web 2.0 design. You can put all that work on the front end and just focus on the business logic on the back end, which is really what RPG does best.
Yeah, I mean, RPG is really good at getting data to and from the DB2 database and also crunching business logic, right? Bottom line is, typical scenario, let me give you an example. Order entry application that we wrote for a customer. They had an existing green screen application. We don't do things like take that existing application and try and modify it to work with Valence. We create a new application. It would be a new RPG program. But what we do is we look at the old program and say, okay, what functions can we reuse out of here? So in this particular example that we did for a customer, we were able to preserve like tax calculations. There were a lot of subroutines in there that calculated things like tax or whether an order should go on credit hold or not. We brought those into procedures within the new RPG program that was based on Valence. So it's not like you're starting from ground zero. If you have an existing RPG program, you can, reuse pieces of it. And when you do this process, that's really modernizing your RPG application because you're creating a new RPG application. You're reusing the business logic from the old one. And, you're getting rid of that green screen specific code in the old one at the same time. So what you're left with is a really, really modern back-end RPG program hooked up to a really modern front-end, where the front end and back end are separate, to the point where you could theoretically in the future attach some other front end to the back end code, because there's nothing inherently browser specific, I suppose, in the code. You know what I'm saying? Any front end could be hooked up to it.
Or any back end could be hooked up to your front end.
Yeah, you can look at it that way too. I mean, Valence is specifically geared for an RPG backend. But theoretically, yes. I mean, you could hook the front end up to any kind of backend as long as it was giving the same responses.
Have you included SQL along with RPG as a way to access the database?
Oh, yeah. SQL is heavily utilized in Valence. We use SQL very extensively for loading combo boxes and for loading grids of data, like which would be equivalent to a subfile. In fact, loading grids of data is extremely easy with Valence, and also to give users the ability to kind of click on the top of any column and have that column sort. That's all done with the magic of SQL. Because when the user clicks on a column and that sorts, most developers look at that and say, wow, that is really cool. But it's really not that hard, because all it's doing is when you click on the column, it just sends a new parameter to the back end. And when the SQL statement is constructed, it just uses that column name as the sort parameter on the SQL statement. So it's really pretty easy to execute. Now, you can normally do things in more than one way in Valence. So like you can use SQL and you could use native IO. It just depends. You know, there's functions in the Valence RPG toolkit for both. Typically, we always start out with SQL because it's so much easier to program. I mean, in Valence, you can literally just call a Valence procedure with an SQL statement and return the response back to the front end and have it displayed. In cases where we find that in performance testing, the application, if there's an SQL performance issue, like, for example, if you want to give the user the ability to click on any column in a grid, you know, that can have a huge performance impact. Negative performance impact, especially if you don't have indexes over the correct fields. So, you know, then you can always move to native IO if you need to. You know, but normally we start with SQL and we kind of see how it performs in testing, and then we can move to native IO if we need to.
And nowadays, SQL is really performing quite well on the IBM I.
Yes, leaps and big improvements. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, so sometimes we'll run into customers that have just millions and millions of records in a file. And sometimes when you're, you know, just getting a handful of SQL records from SQL out there, it doesn't perform too well. That's where the native IO can sometimes get it way faster.
Right. There are some times for that. And that's good that you have the option to go either way.
Yeah, but I mean, what's really nice, and I'd like to reiterate this again, is that we always use SQL to start, because many times we have to prototype something to show a customer. So, you know, the SQL is easy, whereas a native IO, you know, you got to do a little bit more work on that. So you can prototype something with the SQL, and even though it doesn't perform exactly the best, you can still have it to show what the customer, what the functionality would be. And then if they say, yeah, it looks good, go forward, then you can put the time in and switch it to the native IO.
That's true. It gives you a nice prototyping tool that way.
Right.
Another thing applications need to do a lot of times these days is integrate with other applications. So there, say you have an application that's a web application that's not Valence. I'm assuming that you can also integrate and work with those other applications.
Well, yeah, right out of the box. I mean, you can use the Valence portal to integrate any other web pages that you might have done in some other third-party tool or using CGI Dev 2 or what have you. We have a number of customers that are doing that. I mean, right out of the box. The Valence portal is a really fully functional portal.
Is it written to the portal standards so that any portlet can be plugged into it?
Well, no. Portlets are in Java.
Right.
So, no, you can't plug a Java portlet into it. The Valence portal is essentially a tab-based portal that launches a frame within itself to run any web page that you can call on another link.
Okay.
So if you've already developed CGI Dev 2 programs that you can call on any path or, you know, some other third-party tools or whatever, as long as you can link to it on the web, you can kind of bring it under the control of the Valence portal and have it run within the Valence portal, within a frame within the Valence portal. It's very easy to understand. 99% of developers will have no idea what a Java portlet is and what the Java portlet standards are, you know. but within 5 minutes they can figure out how to link in existing pages into the Valence portal. You know what I mean? So right out of the box, you know, they can use that functionality.
So if someone's going to get involved with Valence, is it just one product that they buy that has the whole package of what they need to use in order to develop, or are there different options of what they can purchase?
Yeah, everything that they need is in one download. And you said buy, but technically they can actually use Valence for free. We've added a new community developer license, which basically allows anybody with an eye to download and use Valence free of charge for as long as they want, provided they agree to the terms of the license, which states if they are to deploy any applications for live use by customers or users, then they would either post the code behind that application onto our forum, our public forum, as a quid pro quo exchange of code, or they can simply license the software at a very reasonable rate per developer or on different basis specific to their organization.
What would be the best way, aside from getting the free tools here, to use for someone to start learning how to program in Valence?
Well, it's very easy to obtain the tool. You know, you can just go to cnxcorp.com and go to the Valence store. There's a free download there, which is the community developer license that Rob just mentioned. That's the free one. And, you know, it's extremely easy to install. You download one executable file to your PC. You launch that executable. It sets up a remote connection with your eye and loads everything you need on there. The Valence portal, the RPG toolkit, the front-end stuff. And then, you know, you have instructions, you know, literally within 20 minutes of downloading it, you're up and running, it's installed, up and running. And then once you have it installed, you have everything that you need there. There's a Valence manual that's pretty long. I think it's like 125 pages of really great information there. And you really would want, if you're going to learn Valence, you really would want it loaded on your system because, you know, you're going to have access to like the dozens of examples that are included. You know, you'll be able to look at the code for those examples that you've loaded, and you'll be able to kind of change things around and see the impact. And, you know, you really be able to explore it once you have it loaded on your system.
And I think that's one thing that they'll find very intuitive is how easy it is to pull up the code and make changes. And I think one of the things that Web 2.0 really offers as a benefit is that you can make all sorts of changes to the front end and not have to compile anything. You know, the effects are immediate, so you can really kind of learn on a trial and error basis, you know, just keep tinkering with the code and make different things happen. And people are typically amazed at how much, you know, effect they can have on the end application with minimal little adjustments in the code that comes with the example programs.
Yeah, I mean, I always get a lot of emails actually that say, hey, I've been looking at Valence on your website and I've been reading some things about it. You know, where do I start? I always point people right to the download. We don't even ask you for any information. I mean, you can go on there and you can download the software. The full source code is included. I suppose it's a bit on the honor system. We're saying that, you know, the license, if I can just reiterate what Rob said, is that you can use the software as long as you want and explore it, learn it. And then, you know, there's no charge whatsoever unless you, number one, want support. I mean, we do have support packs that are available on our Valence store. Our website at cnxcorp.com has a store where you can buy support, and you can upgrade to the professional developer license, which essentially just gives you the right to deploy your applications to your end users and keep your code private. The licenses are very inexpensive. It's just on a per-developer license. It's $595 per developer. And if you license like 5 or 25, you know, there's different discount levels. And all of our licensing is done online. You know, you can go right to our website and purchase support or a higher level license if you need it.
Do you provide training packages also?
Yes, we do training. We do a lot of our training on one-on-one, or, you know, very few customers want to actually come to our office for formal training. And normally when that does happen, when we do set up formal training sessions at our office, it normally devolves into a development session anyway, because customers normally when they're looking for training, it's because they have an application that they want to create in Valence in mind. So all of the questions and what they want to gear their training towards tends to evolve around that particular application that they have in their minds at the time of training. So what I typically recommend to customers is say, let's just not even do a formal training session. Let's just, you know, you can buy time from CNX and we will help you create your application. That seems to me to be the best training mechanism, you know, over my many years of experience with this, is we just hook up with customers and we provide one of our developers or more on a team of developers that includes those from the customer. And that's, you know, you learn more by doing. But we do formal training sessions, both at the CNX office and at customer sites, if that's what the customer wants. But like I said, it's normally more efficient to just kind of get started with an application and, you know, purchase some expert services time from CNX for assistance.
Could you go ahead and give me the best way to get a hold of you guys if someone wants to either get some service or buy the professional product or just get more information about everything from you?
Yeah, they should do everything entirely right off the website. We've gone to great lengths to make it a very hands-off experience for us in order to keep our costs down. And they can fill out the form and order support packs, expert services, licenses, everything, even using a credit card if they like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, cnxcorp.com is going to have a tremendous amount of more information than we just talked about here. So if people are hungry for more, they can go there. There are actually 3 hours of video on our website in terms of total runtime, you know, a bunch of different videos, but added all together, there's about 3 hours of training videos absolutely free right off of our website. You know, most of those videos are just kind of me going through sample programs and describing them and bringing people through Valence, so people can seek that out on our website quite easily. And like I was saying, you can download the framework right from our website, install it on your system, and be up and running within 20 minutes. You know, if people would like to contact CNX directly, they can send an email to sales@cnxcorp.com. And Rob or I usually pick those up along with a bunch of other people here. So it might not be the best thing for people to try and contact Rob or I, you know, together directly, because a lot of times we're out or at customer sites or at conferences or whatever. So best way would be sales@cnxcorp.com, and that would be the fastest way to get an answer. Or alternatively, and I would like to recommend this as well, we have a really, really nice forum. When you go to cnxcorp.com, there's a big link for our forums, which are growing in number of users and number of posts very rapidly, especially since the release of Valence 2.1 on March 1st. There have been a lot of new signups, so it's totally free to register and to post questions on that forum, and other people from the Valence community can answer, and the CNX development team monitors the forums closely too, and always, you know, usually puts up some good answers there as well. So that's another good resource.
Sounds like you have plenty of good ways for people to contact you or start using the product right off the bat.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would encourage them to do too. Just use it right off the bat, get their hands dirty, jump into the code and just, you know, immerse themselves in the Web 2.0 methodology that Valence, you know, backs. And I think they'll find it, you know, in no time. We just had a new customer app demo put on our site last night, and one of the questions that Richard did the interview with the developer, and one of the questions that was answered in the video is, you know, how long did it take you to develop? And this, I must say, the app that this customer developed over in Belgium is one of the most robust apps I've seen. He went from nothing but RPG background to being a, well, I would say is a top tier Valence developer in the span of, what was it, Richard, 4 months?
4 months, yeah. And it was the application that he developed was essentially just himself and half of the time of another developer. So like when you look at this application and you say to yourself, this application was created in 4 months with 1.5 developers, you really are stunned.
And did you say you have a link for that online so people could look at it?
Yes, it's in the customer video demos area of our website. It's very easy to find. If you just go to the main cnxcorp.com site and click on Valence, there's another link for the customer video demos.
Yeah, we'll be adding some more over the coming weeks too.
Yeah, we put out a call in one of our newsletters for customers to contact us if they would like to, quote unquote, show off their applications. So we're starting to get feedback from customers. You know, a lot of customers are out there doing really interesting applications that we've never heard from. So we're getting feedback from customers now, and we'll be putting up more of those videos as time goes on as customers contact us and show off their stuff.
And I'll add some links on softwaremodernization.com so they can find your location also.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, those are the basic questions that I had for tonight. Do either of you have anything you want to add before we close?
I would like to end kind of with one thought in that anybody listening to this really should try it out. I mean, there's no risk. It's totally free to try, and you can use it as long as you want to learn. And like I was saying earlier, it learning something like this can really add to your value in the IT marketplace. And, you know, like Scott Clement has been saying for the last year on a lot of his posts and at conferences and things, that RPG programmers should really get out there and try something. You know, the problem is everybody's sitting around waiting for like the best thing to come along. Just try something. Just get out there. And
don't wait for IBM.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, you know, ask me questions at conferences and by email and things like that, that know about me. And they claim to me that they'll never be able to learn how to do what we're talking about. And that really shocks me because, I mean, at some point in the past, they learned RPG initially. And I would contend that this stuff is no harder to learn than when you originally had to learn RPG from scratch. So you really just kind of have to have the will and the drive to learn it. There are plenty of people out there all around the world that have learned Valence in the last couple of years, all by themselves with no help from CNX, and all they had is an RPG background. So it's definitely possible, and all the resources are there for you to learn it, and it's definitely possible.
And one of the more rewarding things I think a lot of Valence developers get from their users is the somewhat incredulous response of their users when they're told that the new application that they're playing with in Valence is actually running on their old AS400.
Thank you, Rob and Richard, for your time. And I hope that you get some people coming to try out Valence after this.
Well, thanks, Mark. We certainly appreciate the exposure.
Very good. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by this host, Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremodernization.com and click on the interview link. This has been a production of MAT, Marketing Assistance Technologies.